Are you ready to take your intermittent fasting lifestyle to the next level? There's nothing better than community to help with that. In the Delay, Don't Deny community, we all embrace the clean fast, and there's just the right support for you as you live your intermittent fasting lifestyle. You can connect directly with me in the Ask Jen group, and I'll answer all of your questions personally. If you're new to intermittent fasting or recommitting to the intermittent fasting lifestyle, join the 28-Day Fast Start group. After your fast start, join us for support in the first year group. Need tips for long-term maintenance? We have a place for that. There are many more useful spaces beyond these, and you can interact in as many as you like. Visit jenstevens.com/community to join us. An annual membership costs just over $1 a week when you do the math. If you aren't ready to fully commit for a year, join for a month, and you can cancel at any time. If you know you'll want to stay forever, we also have a lifetime membership option available. IF is free. You don't need to join our community to fast. But if you're looking for support from a community of like-minded intermittent fasters, we're here for you at jenstevens.com/community. That's jenstevens.com/community. Achieving my long-term goals is more about creating healthy habits and less about quick fixes. And that's why I love both intermittent fasting and daily harvest. Tim Spector, a gut health expert and founder of Zoe, and Dr. B, gastroenterologist and author of Fiberfueled, recommend that you aim for at least 30 unique plant foods per week. Daily Harvest helps make it easy. One of my favorite options is the sweet potato and wild rice hash harvest bowl. With Daily Harvest, I'm getting tons of plant-based options built on organic fruits and vegetables that are easy to prep and free of weird ingredients such as fillers, seed oils, and added sugars. Create healthy habits that last with Daily Harvest. For a limited time only, go to dailyharvest.com/ifstories to get $30 off your first box plus free shipping. That's dailyharvest.com/ifstories for $30 off your first box and free shipping. dailyharvest.com/ifstories. Welcome to Intermittent Fasting Stories. I'm your host, Jen Stevens, author of the New York Times bestseller, Fast, Feast, Repeat, as well as the book that started it all, Delay, Don't Deny. I lost over 80 pounds thanks to intermittent fasting after learning how to delay my eating rather than denying myself the delicious foods I want to eat. Now, who's ready to hear an inspirational intermittent fasting story? That's why we're here. So let's get excited to talk to today's guest. Hi, everybody, and welcome to episode 366 of Intermittent Fasting Stories. Today, I'm here with Christy Sample. Christy lives in Elk View, West Virginia, and she is a mom to a 29-year-old special needs son, and she also has a small YouTube channel called The Homesteader Wannabe, and that's Wanna, W-A-N-N-A, so you can look that up after you hear Christy's conversation today. Well, welcome, Christy.
Thank you, Jen. Thank you for having me, and thank you for even starting this platform, because it keeps me motivated every week listening to two good podcasts, and then the other podcast with Sherry is really good too.
Well, thank you for being a listener. And I just can't believe that I get to do this work and talk to people and share the magic of intermittent fasting. And, you know, it looks different for every single one of us, but it is such a powerful thing to do. And intermittent fasting is free.
I know, that's my favorite part.
And sustainable. You know, I can't believe I've been doing this for so many years now. When I celebrate my 10th year anniversary, it's going to be pretty cool. So about a year from now.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I like to start by asking, what brought you to intermittent fasting and when was that?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm going to have a backstory.
Perfect.
When I grew up, my mother was on a diet always, and she always was so scared of being fat. Mm-hmm. And when I look back at the pictures, she was not even close to being fat, but it just, like, to me, and I think even my sister, the thought of being fat was just like the scariest thing in the world because she was so scared of it. And she was just constantly on diet. So I remember when I was 5 years old telling people, I'm on a diet because, you know, you want to be grown up. And I thought that's what mm-hmm. you do when you're grown up. And just so anyway, I just lived a normal childhood. We ate, you know, chemicals like everybody else, hot dogs and Kraft macaroni and cheese. I know I just, but then everything was just normal. I was a thin kid. We didn't snack. And then like in eighth grade, I just remember there was a switch that went off where food just became something more than just sustenance. It was just something that I ate more than I should. And, you know, we'd sneak snack. By that time, everybody was having snacks. And so I was hiding like snack cakes so I can make sure I had snack cakes, but I still didn't get big. You know, I still was really skinny. And then I was fine till I had my son, and I stayed the same all through school, you know, just normal, it was just normal. And then after I had my son, it was the first time I ever was home all day long. And I gained 30 pounds in like the first winter. And so this is something I forgot to say. When I was in ninth grade, getting ready to go in 10th grade, I started binging and purging. Aww. And so I had bulimia, but I eventually quit that. And I don't know when I quit that, but I did get down to like, I was like 99 pounds, the same height I am now.
And how tall are you?
5'6".
Okay. Wow.
Yes. It was just, people would say, I remember my sister saying one time, you look just horrible. And I thought, she's so jealous. Because I was just,
you know,
like,
if you have that distorted view of yourself and you had been, you know, I know your mom didn't mean to program you to think that's, you know, you had to be skinnier and skinnier, but that's so often how it starts, those innocent comments of being on a diet. And at five, you had already picked that up. Kids pick up what we're putting down, whether we mean to do it or not. And so, you know, I remember being in college, and there were some girls there that were bulimic, not very many, but I remember just being astonished by that. And I can understand that you start getting into that, the secrecy and the shame, and you want to eat because food is filling a need, but then you got to get rid of it because you got to be thin.
Right. Right. Because it was just out of control eating.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. And I was so scared of getting fat because I was, right. That was our fear. But I will say my mom told me that her dad had always, she's got a very Marilyn Monroe shape. Mm-hmm. And her dad would always say things, you know, about her, which is, I'm sure, where her journey started.
Right.
But so I had my son, I gained the 30 pounds, and I went back to bulimia for a long time. And I would occasionally still, I probably did that for like a year. And then I started doing the diets, and diets were going to get me off the bulimia and all this stuff. And
now, did anybody know that you were doing that, or was it a secret that you kept?
I don't think anyone knew. I think my mom may have suspected. I don't know for sure, but I told no one, but it makes you feel kind of powerful in a way, because it was like, look, I can eat all this food and I take care of it. You know, I've taken care of it, but really it's just a sick mind problem. But so I went back to bulimia after, you know, the first year of having him. And then I quit diet after diet after diet. Occasionally, you know, if I would have like a huge binge, I would go ahead and purge that and go on with my life. And I did that up till probably in my 30s, you know.
Wow.
But that was like maybe 4 or 5 times a year that I would do that. But it was diet after diet. Then I was pretty much starving myself back in 2000 and I forget what year it was. I don't remember exactly what year. I have it written down somewhere, but I don't remember. But I looked at a picture of myself and I was like starving myself, and I was still not happy with the way I looked. And I thought, what am I doing? I'm starving myself. Mm-hmm. I would just have to basically not eat at all to be what I think I should be. So I just said, I'm done. I bought cute clothes and I just quit dieting. And I tried what I said was eat what you want. Just don't be a glutton, you know, right, and stuff like that. So I did that for a while. And of course I gained 3 or 4 pounds every year. Mm-hmm. I think I was like 41 when I quit dieting. And no matter how much weight I gained or whatever, I was like, I'm not going back to dieting. I don't care. No way.
Well, you were caught up in really the eating disorder mindset and also the body dysmorphia, I think, that comes along with it. When you looked, got down to 99 pounds and your sister said, this is not okay. You didn't see it. That's the whole part of the eating disorder.
I still saw fat on my thighs.
Right. Right.
I can still put my finger into fat on my thighs. So I thought, when that's gone, and I even had bruises on my butt where I would sit on a hard floor and my bones I had 2 bruises on my butt, and that's how skinny I was. But I always had saddlebags, so I always want to have fat right there. That would definitely be the last thing to go.
So at 41, you were like, forget it. I'm done. You realized you didn't want to live that way with that disordered thinking about your body and about your food and about dieting.
Right. But I was still working out, and I still thought about it all the time. It was my whole life. Wake up, the first thing you do is think about what you're going to eat that day. And then by the end of the day, you didn't eat that way. You might not be dieting, but you still didn't like yourself.
Right.
So I prayed about it. I was like, I need something. I need something. I don't want to diet, but I need something. So I was watching the 700 Club, and Chantel Ray was on there.
Oh.
I know that you've done the podcast a few times. And I was like, it just clicked. It sounded perfect. And so I got her book. But in her book, and I did lose weight on it, but in her book, she says, if you absolutely must have cream in your coffee. And that was all I needed. I definitely must. So it was still a struggle. I couldn't figure out why I was so, it was just like getting harder and harder to make it to my window. And I did lose weight because, you're still going to lose some weight even, but it's a diet again, because you have to be, you're still having to control yourself. So I gained it all back but 5 pounds, because when COVID happened, I would watch the news every night, and then I would go make a big thing of microwave popcorn. And I call this thing I make punch, where I take sherbet in a glass and then I put the ginger ale on top, make my own little punch.
And just brought me right back to my grandmother. Yeah. She always had sherbet in the freezer. Yeah. I don't know why. Maybe I have no idea, but she loved it. That's where I would get the sherbet. And she would also put ginger ale on it.
It was the coldest drink possible. I mean, it was so cold. And I haven't had it in years. But every once in a while, when it's really hot, I think I would love to have a glass of punch tonight. But I never have it in the house.
That's so,
I never
funny. Do it.
But
now, when you say you gained it all back, what was your weight around that time? What was the highest weight that you saw?
The highest weight I saw was 173, which I know that's when I hear somebody say 173 was high, it was uncomfortable. I know that's not really big.
Well, it's in the obese range, isn't it, for 5'6"?
Yeah, but it's almost like an average now in the world.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. So I didn't want to make somebody be like, well, that's what I weigh, but it was uncomfortable for me. I actually looked pregnant, and I was just uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But I lost down to 149 on that, but I gained it all back except for 5 pounds. So then 2 years after that, in 2021, after I started Chantel Ray in 2018. So that's not 2 years, but in 2021, I was looking up intermittent fasting books, and I found Delay, Don't Deny, and Fast Beats Repeat. I don't think it didn't even come up.
Okay, didn't cut. Fast Feast Repeat came out in 2020. So if you were looking, it's possible that you could have just stumbled across Delay Don't Deny. And they didn't show you Fast Feast Repeat yet.
It was like a recommended book. And I read that, and it was just like a total turnaround, and it just changed everything. But I still had a little bit of cream in the coffee. And then I wanted to join your Facebook group. And this was like within a week, you know.
So I wanted
to join your Facebook group, and they said, you have to, can you say you won't drink cream or something in your coffee?
You have to fast clean. We follow the clean fast. Can you agree to that? Yeah, that was
and
the
I
question.
And I said no, and I never heard nothing back. So I really wanted to join it. And I won't say that I will do it if I won't do it. So,
well, I'm proud of you, because people would say yes, and then they'd come in there and be like, I use cream and it works for me. But that was, if people wouldn't say, we wanted it to be planted in your brain from the beginning. Yeah. If you wanted to join the Facebook group, we're just going to be fast and clean. Yeah. Can you agree to that? That's our philosophy. And if you can't, that's okay. There's other Facebook groups out there, but we're not going to argue with you about the clean fast, because we were tired of that.
Yeah. And so I said, well, I'm going to do it. And I did it. And it was, you know, I didn't drink as much. I drank like half a cup, and I was like, that's all I can take.
We all face stress in our daily lives. What if the answer to a better stress response is in one key nutrient? I'm talking about magnesium, and specifically Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. This one-of-a-kind product is designed to reverse low levels of magnesium, which could have a positive effect on our stress response. But don't take my word for it. Here's a quote from a 2020 issue of the scientific journal Nutrients. Results suggest that stress could increase magnesium loss, causing a deficiency. And in turn, magnesium deficiency could enhance the body's susceptibility to stress, resulting in a magnesium and stress vicious circle. I only recommend Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. It's the only organic full-spectrum magnesium supplement that includes 7 unique forms of magnesium for stress resilience and better sleep. Simply go to bioptimizers.com/ifstories. Promo code IFSTORIES10 to get your magnesium breakthrough and find out this month's gift with purchase. That's bioptimizers.com/IFSTORIES, promo code IFSTORIES10. If you've been listening to my podcast for a while, you know what a fan I am of Dr. Tim Spector and the work he's doing with Zoe. I was first introduced to his work in 2015, and I've been following his research ever since. What I love most about the Zoe Science and Nutrition podcast is that they have weekly interviews with world-leading experts who explain how their latest research can benefit your health. Recently, I was thrilled to finally meet him face-to-face as we recorded an episode for the Zoe Science and Nutrition podcast, and this episode aired on April 11th. We had a chance to talk about the world's biggest intermittent fasting study, and I had the opportunity to explain the clean fast to Jonathan, which may explain why he didn't enjoy his prior experiences with fasting. Search for Zoe Science and Nutrition on your podcast player or on YouTube to hear the latest episode, and don't forget to look for the April 11th episode to hear me, Tim, and Jonathan talk about the world's biggest intermittent fasting study. Well, I bet you this was 2020. You said 2021, but if we were still on Facebook and Delay Don't Deny is what you found, I bet that was 2020.
It might have been. But so I quit the cream, but I have it in my window. And then after like 3 weeks, I didn't want it in my window. I like the black coffee. And so if anybody thinks they can't do that, so, you know, because I was like, I can have it in my window. And I did do that for a while, but then it just gets where you really like black coffee. I drink Cafe Bustelo. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but it tastes really good. Like when I tried to do it with Folgers, black coffee wasn't working for me. I had to find a good coffee that tasted good black.
But quality really does matter. And yeah. I think it's so important, Christy, what you just said. Your taste buds reset in 3 weeks, and you preferred the black coffee. And so anybody who's listening, if don't let that cream be holding you back or whatever you're used to putting in your coffee, because your taste buds really will adapt. If you like the smell of coffee and you like coffee hot milkshake, then you can learn to like black coffee. Now, if you don't like the smell of coffee, then just don't drink coffee.
Yeah, it probably won't work for you if you don't like this much. I always loved the smell of coffee. And then I started drinking it because I was so tired. But then it became like, this is the only thing I do for myself. So I got to have this coffee. And then, the black coffee is just as comforting. It's a hug in a mug or whatever you want to call it. It's just, it does just as well as with that. It's way better without the cream, actually, because I didn't use cream. I used Coffee Mate, the powder. The chemicals, they're so creamy. And I'm like, how can this only have 10 calories? Because it's not real. It's just not real. It's something. I don't know what. I didn't ever read the ingredients because they were so long.
Don't roll. Well, maybe you should read them. I remember when I first started drinking coffee, it wasn't until my 30s. And it was when Starbucks started to get real popular and suddenly everybody's drinking lattes and coffee all the time. And before that, I didn't even drink coffee at all. But of course, I started in my classroom. I had a coffee maker and I had, fat-free, sugar-free vanilla coffee maker. And I'm like, what even is fat-free and sugar-free? That was like a chemical smorgasbord of grossness. But I was drinking it back there in my classroom. Oh, my Lord.
It's a wonder. I mean, we had to feel awful. I mean, I know I feel a lot better now, but I mean, how did I even get, I guess where I was younger, you know, every year, you know, how did I even get through all that junk I used to, you know, you just think, how did you make it from morning till night without like three naps and stuff? Because I ate so many chemicals and junk and stuff like that. But it's just been so easy to make the switch and just, especially with clean fasting. It was not easy when I had the cream and the coffee every day. And, you know, even after my window would close, I'd have cream in the coffee. So then I would have to go all that time hungry. I would be hungry, but I knew that I had to eat in the window. So it was basically another diet, but I was thinking I had got out of that.
Yeah. So after you quit the cream, or the creamer, I should say, and you started fasting clean. I'm thinking that was sometime in 2020, like we said. How did it go after you made that switch? And how did you feel now that you're fasting clean?
I felt so good. I wrote down all my weights. When I started, I only lost, the first week, only lost 1.5 pounds. And I felt like I had lost 10 pounds. My face looked like I'd lost 10 pounds. I felt so good. And you're so happy with yourself because you know you're doing everything you can do. Instead of, you know, I was always like, if I weigh 200 pounds, but I know I'm doing everything I can do, then I'm going to be okay with that. And it just was a peaceful feeling. I did quit working out when I started clean fasting. I was like, I want to see what happens. And I still have not went back. And it's been that long. But then the next week, I didn't lose anything. And I still was looking better. And after that, it just was a consistent, like, turtle, 0.5 pound here, no pounds, 1 pound. And eventually, I got to, right now I'm like 140. I go between 144 and 149. Mm-hmm. But I eat ice cream. Like, I've ate ice cream every day since I started this almost. And so I'm trying to get off of that now because I knew I would one day hit a wall and I would have to make a decision. Do I want the ice cream or do I want to keep going down? And so I'm trying right now. I'm trying different things. I did order some of the Daily Harvest. It's coming tomorrow. I'm thinking maybe the smoothies might help me get out of the ice cream thing.
Now, let me tell you about those smoothies. If you've been having ice cream every day, just like, you know, how you had to swap out you had to learn how to like the black coffee. Same thing might happen with those smoothies because your taste buds are going to be looking for the creaminess of the dairy, of the ice cream, and the sugar. And the Daily Harvest smoothies, do you remember which ones you ordered?
I ordered one of all of them.
Okay. Start with the chocolate blueberry.
I did see the picture that looks really good.
Start with that one and be aware some of them, you know, like they're going to have greens in there and you might pick it up and be like, this is not the ice cream I'm used to, but give, You know, I love the one that's supposedly like a, it's like carrot, tastes almost like carrot cake, whatever that one is. I can't think of exactly what's in it.
I did see that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just be aware. Some of them are going to, you have to get used to it.
Yeah. This week I've only had ice cream once, but I just know that that's, plus cholesterol, you know, and stuff. So much cholesterol in the ice cream, but it's just, it's so delicious.
I know, but I really genuinely love, just like I love my black coffee now, I'm adapted to it. I love the Daily Harvest smoothies to the point that, I mean, I also still like ice cream, but just be aware, you're going to have a little transition there, but they're so, right. They have such good ingredients in there. I always think, like you said, you know, we're nourishing our bodies. We're doing something that's good for us. And so,
yeah, I mean, I feel satisfied when I have something really good for myself. So I think that if I have them, going to feel more satisfied, because ice cream, you know, doesn't satisfy. It just is really good.
I know. Yeah. You could just have it forever. Like you never run out of room for the ice cream.
Right. It's true. It doesn't make you sick. I mean, I'm guessing I buy pints, so I don't, you know, eat the whole thing, but it doesn't make you sick like chocolate or something would.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Exactly. So I hope you love the Daily Harvest as much as we do. And
me too.
I share it with Chad. We each have half of a smoothie.
I was thinking maybe I could put half in the fridge. I don't know if it'd be as good.
You could
good.
Try that.
Yeah.
Yeah. We tried that at one time because Chad has that tiny little appetite. He's like, I just want half of a half. I'm like, well, that's crazy, but okay. But he stopped with that.
My husband's like that. He like gets a Ben and Jerry's and he like eats like 4 bites and puts it in the freezer. I've never put a Ben and Jerry's back in the freezer. It's always empty. This is
messy. Yeah.
I do think one of my problems is habits. And I think it's just like, it's a habit. This is what I do every day because my life is a very scheduled. It's all around my son and it's every 4 hours he eats. And so it's just like, this is the time I eat. This is the time I have a snack and then I close my window. And I think I don't even taste the ice cream as much because it's just like, this is what I do. And, you know, so I think that's my habits are a problem more than other things. I did read Atomic Habits, but it seemed like it was more for starting habits than ending habits. But I need to.
Well, it's just a matter of replacing it, finding, you know, but like if you have a habit that is not serving you, replace it with something different. Like with me, you know, I didn't want to drink alcohol anymore because I realized like I didn't feel good. And so I just replaced it. You know, I still have my fun glass, you know, whatever it is. And I pour my non-alcoholic Heineken 0.0 in there, or I have some kombucha in there. And so I still get to have that habit of a drink in my eating window, a fun drink, but I've just swapped one thing out. So I didn't really change my habit. I just changed what I'm having in that glass. So same thing with you. You can still have that habit of now it's when I have my frozen creamy treat, but you're picking something different for your frozen creamy treat. So you're like still have the habit. It's just something new in that cup.
Yeah. I just need to be more mindful, but it's so hard. It's like you just get zombied out and you're just like, because I was thinking I would like to change my window to open at 4, but I only have 2 options. I have the option of 11 a.m. or I have the option of 4 p.m. And it's so hard to pass. It's always been 11 unless I go somewhere and then I wait because I know I'm smarter without, like if I have a doctor's appointment, I wait till after because I know I become not as smart. So
I get it. Now, why do you want to wait till 4 instead of 11? What's the why for that?
Well, because there's, for one thing, I just, if I have from, like I close my window probably at like 2:30, 3 o'clock, and I have all these hours in which that I could say, you know what, I really want some popcorn, or I really could do, and it's, you know, it's just too easy. Plus, I don't get as much done when I eat at 11, but I like to have my kitchen clean after. That's the reason I don't always do it at 4, but I think I'm going to change it to 4 coming, you know, when it starts getting dark and stuff outside and earlier, because I don't know. It just feels like that would be more like, okay, my window's closed. It's dark. you know, just end it all. I know that.
Yeah, that I was wondering what the reason was, because if you feel great opening at 11 and closing at 2:30 or 3, and that works really well for your schedule, and it's easy for you to close at 2:30 or 3, then I would say keep doing that. But you sound like me in that closing is harder. You know, if I wait to open my window till afternoon, then eventually I go to bed and I can't reopen it. I'm in the bed.
Right. And I love the sleepy time tea. I don't know if you've ever drank sleepy time tea. It really puts me to sleep. And I thought if I open later, I could have the sleepy time tea
and still be in your window.
That could be the close of my window and then go to bed. So I don't know, but the 11 o'clock that has always worked for me, but I think I'm getting into like my body's expecting it. And the times I have waited longer, the longer I go without eating, the less hungry I am, the less food I eat, and the more energy I have. So, you know, I always wanted to do a diet, not a diet. I wanted to do a window where you would go like, when your window closed, you go 24 hours till you eat again and then open it then and then 24 hours. I think that would be such a good thing for me, but it's just time, you know, if I didn't have to cook, cooking's the problem. Yeah.
It's true. So when you say your choices are open at 4 or open at 11, I get that's surrounding when your son is eating because you like to be with him. Yeah.
Yeah. He's in his room like right now. So he's in there for a little while and then he goes back into his room because he has like a TV and a table and a toy and all this stuff that he loves. And so that's my break time. I can either go outside or cook dinner or, you know, stuff like that. So I clean the house. It's just, I'm really busy at that time, but I just, everything's just regimented and scheduled and stuff like that. But I did do Green Chef. I'm doing Green Chef right now and I love it, but I want to not cook it. So then I looked at Factor. I don't know if you've ever seen Factor.
I have seen it. They are actually, I think, they're owned by the same company that has HelloFresh and Green Chef and Factor. I think they're all together.
The website looked the same, but I actually had to throw some of. I did not.
That
like
wasn't.
It.
Yeah, and I like
people
cooking
love it.
They do. People love it. So, but if you're used to cooking and you're used to making your own food, look, I like my own food better than eating at a restaurant. So it's just, I don't want anything coming in the mail already cooked. I just don't like those as much. So we're food snobs, Christy.
Maybe I would have loved it before I had Green Chef.
Well, people do love Factor.
Yeah, they do. So I thought I was going to love it, but my husband won't eat any of the same stuff I eat. So when I make Green Chef, you know, I get 3 meals. It's 6 meals. So I'll eat half and then I'll put half in the refrigerator and eat it the next day. So I only have to cook every other day.
That's good. That works.
Yeah. Yeah. But it does. Sometimes it tastes better the next day, but usually it's
not quite as good.
But I do say it's like restaurant quality food. I mean, 99% of what I've ate, I would pay money in a restaurant to eat it. So it's been wonderful to have Green Chef.
Well, I'm glad.
You know, sometimes you look at cookbooks, you're looking at all the ingredients, you're like feeling a little overwhelmed. So I let them
do
it.
That's me too. Yeah. And the whole idea of, and by the way, this is not a commercial for Green Chef. This is but I just absolutely, you know, I don't know what I would do. I have so many cookbooks because I just love them. And I'm like, I'm going to make this. And I never make any of the recipes from the cookbook because I waste so much when I try to buy stuff. Like, I'm going to make this, you know, whatever it is. Then I go buy all these ingredients and you end up with way more than you need of the stuff.
And you know, if you don't like it, you never make it again. And then you, like, I'm throwing out spices in a few years, you know, after they expire. And so it's just been really good. I really just thought I was going to do it for promotional time and then quit, but I was like, I can't, it's just too good.
I'm glad. And,
Well,
and I'm super lucky that Chad will cook, he'll eat anything I put in front of him. So I'm very, very grateful for that. Cause I'm buying the plant-based ones from Green Chef right now.
Me too.
And like last night we had it was rice with kale and then we had stuffed peppers with white beans and like a cashew parm and onion. It was so good.
Yeah. I bought a few of the vegan meals. Mm-hmm. Because they look good. And then I guess the internet gods knew that I was buying vegan meals. So they, YouTube started showing. So I watched a documentary about whole food, plant-based.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm trying to get, and it feels so good, like to eat food. I'm very satisfied. I know some people it would never satisfy them.
And your body will tell you. I never feel better than when I'm whole food plant based. I call myself whole food ish plant based ish because I'm not dogmatic about it.
Yeah.
I had a friend visiting this weekend. Shout out to Sue. Hello, Sue. And you know, we went to some of my favorite restaurants, and I had she crab soup, which is crab and full of dairy and key lime pie and all that, baked potato with butter and sour cream. But it's really easy for me to eat that way at home. It's just when I'm out. And
eat a hamburger restaurant, I'm not going to eat a whatever crazy burger, I'm going to have a hamburger. But they call that flexitarian when you have meat like once a week or I don't know, but I don't like to regiment.
I don't want to call it anything. It's super easy. Order the plant-based meals from Green Chef and have my daily harvest. And when I'm out, I'm not going to be like, what's in that bun?
Since I've got Green Chef, I don't think I've ate out, but maybe one time. And I started in the spring because you have these meals, you paid for them, you have to eat them. And like I said, it makes six meals for me. So I just have one off day. But when I eat out, it's like we eat out maybe twice a month before I got Green Chef and stuff. So if I'm going to eat out, I'm going to eat what's the best thing at that restaurant.
What's the most delicious? Exactly. Yes, yes. Me too. If I'm at the Chimichanga Llama, it's going to be the chimichanga and it's going to have queso on it. So
I don't want to think about it too much. If I start getting in the diet brain, it's just not a good hole for me to go down. So I just like enjoy that. I don't have to. I mean, if I want meat, I can have it. If I don't want meat, I don't have to eat it. I love that there's no diet with intermittent fasting. It's just like, if you really want it, you better eat it because then you get it off your mind, never tastes as good as you thought it would. And I mean, sometimes, but usually if you're craving something really bad and you're like, I'm going to have it. And then you have it, it's usually never, you realize this tastes like so chemically, or this tastes like so salty or something like that. So
I will say that she crab soup at the sea captain's house was as good as I thought it would be, but I woke up the next day and I was so puffy.
Yeah.
Was it worth it? Yes.
Did I cry all night I always get it around my eyes, but it's been really eye-opening eating the whole food or the vegan meals, because I used to always like crave a piece of chocolate or something. And I don't even like love to gorge on chocolate, but I like a little something in my mouth after I eat a meal. And ever since I started getting the vegan meals, I don't even want that. You know, it's a different
kind of feeling satisfied, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the way I feel.
It is. And like I said, some people would be the same thing with more meat, you know, because I know everybody's so different, but it just works for my body really well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sherry's got to have the meat to feel satisfied. And I believe her. I've been with her. I've seen her, like I've made her a vegetarian meal and she's like, I got to have some chicken.
Yeah. She sounds like she knows her body really well.
That's the key. I want everybody to really, you can trust what makes you feel your best. Like I can trust that I did not feel my best after having that meal at the delicious meal at the sea captain's house. Would I have it again? Yes. Cause sometimes we make a choice and that's okay. You don't have to feel your best every single moment.
Yes.
Sometimes we don't feel our best, but then we sure do appreciate when we do feel better.
And it really just makes you want to get back to it so fast. I mean, it's good having meals like that make you not feel so good. For one thing, they're delicious. And for another thing is, you know, then you really are like, I can't wait to get back to eating my regular meals and feeling good and stuff like that. But yeah, you definitely need to indulge every once in a while in something, if something's really, really worth it, like that crab soup.
It was. And you know, that's just how it is. And I like you, I'm not good at saying I will never have, you know, XYZ again. That's not the way I'm going to be.
Every time I say that, that's all I think about. You know, if I say I'm never going to have this again, and I'm like, that I see the command. It's like the universe conspires against you. Never say it. Just don't put that out in the world.
Although I do think I have gotten there with alcohol. We'll see. I don't know. Never say never, but I feel like I'm there with the alcohol, which is interesting because I didn't think I ever would be. But my brain just all of a sudden went click. So who knows?
Yeah, you never know. But it's nice that you don't have to make a decision, or I think the door's open. You can choose to go in it or not.
Yeah, exactly. And there's no morality attached to it. And that's the beautiful part about losing the diet brain is, you know, oh, I was bad, or oh, no, there's no more shame, no more words like that.
Yes, I can't even start to explain the freedom of it. I mean, it's the, even if I hadn't, like, I went so slow at the beginning, but I felt so good. It's just like, it takes so much, my brain has so much more room now to think of other things, which got me into having gardening and trying different things and reading books and, you know, going down all these things where it used to be like, all I could think about was, what am I going to eat? What am I going to eat? What am I going to eat? Okay, at the end of the day, I can't believe I ate that. I can't believe I ate that. I can't believe, you know, and it's just that would took off my whole day. And I realized that for me, I feel like when I quit dieting, I felt like back to say when I was 40,
41,
mm-hmm. 41, I felt like it was almost a sin because it was just like, this was my God. Diet was my God. And then there was a little spot over here for God, but this was my God. It was what I worshiped and what I thought about and was my idol, whatever. It just became something that was a sin for me, not for everyone, but for someone who has a brain like that, it was everything. And so then when you start intermittent fasting, it's just like, I would sit there when I first started intermittent fasting, I would close my eyes and think, what do I want? And I don't, one day it was salad and corn dogs. I mean, you know, at the beginning, you still have your, you know, the chemicals, you don't taste them. They just taste delicious.
Can I tell you something? I think I would probably enjoy a hot dog. I mean, a corn dog. I would probably love the corn dog still to this day.
They're, if you get a good corn dog and you put it in an air fryer, it is so good. I mean, it tastes deep fried. Of course, I haven't done that. Yeah. I mean, in years, I haven't even wanted one. Maybe if I saw one, I'd want one. But, it, you know, I just thought, what do I want? I want a salad and corn dogs. But mainly what I ate was Tostino's pizzas for like a while because they're so easy and I wasn't cooking. Yeah. I was just throwing stuff in the air fryer and I would just throw one in the air fryer. And then now I can't even imagine eating a Tostino's pizza.
I know. Because, I used to buy those too, though.
Yeah. They were good. But I just think now I just think, ooh, you know,
yeah,
I don't.
Me too.
I don't want one now.
Well, this is what I love so much about the intermittent fasting journey that so much of us go on. You know, you start off, you're following the whole idea of delay. Don't deny. You're waiting till your eating window. You can have Tostino's pizza and salad and corn dogs if that's what you're craving, and you can have ice cream every single day if that's what if you're craving. But then eventually your body's like, huh, I don't really want a pizza or corn dogs. I want a vegan home chef chef meal. I want to eat.
What a flip.
It's crazy. True. I'm making stuffed peppers with beans and kale. And who is that? When I first started meal kits, and probably with maybe 2016, when I first started dabbling in, I would throw kale away if it came in the kit. I'd be like, garbage. I'm not. And now I'm like, ooh, kale.
I know. I just bought a hydroponics machine so I can grow my own kale because I never ate kale until I started eating these vegan meals. And now I like it better than lettuce. And then I make smoothies for my son with kale. And so I bought a big machine that grows 40 plants so I can grow kale and bok choy and stuff like that and have it in my house. I can just go over and pick it. And who would have thought, you know, that I would want to grow that many kale plants and bok choy? I never even ate bok choy until I started Green Chef.
Yeah. But it's so good.
I know. I thought, what is this? And then I made it and I was like, I want this every day. You know?
I know. One time something happened to my delivery, you know, like something will get not put in. So, of course, they're great about that. And they're like, you know, giving you a credit. But I had to go look for bok choy in the regular grocery store because it didn't come. And I couldn't even find it where I was looking. I had to go to like three grocery stores.
Yeah. I've never seen it at our grocery store.
You're going to grow it.
Yeah. So I'm going to grow it. And if you grow it outside, you have so many bugs and stuff in here. Mm-hmm. And stuff comes and destroys it right before you harvest it. So now I can grow it in here. But my son is tube fed. And, you know, I just had a doctor prescribed formula and just going along, giving it to him. And one day, you know, because I've changed so much, I thought, I'm going to look at the ingredients. And the first two ingredients are water and corn syrup.
I had a hunch that it would be that.
It was, and then just oils, and not the good oils, and sugars. And so now I bought a Vitamix and, you know, I make his food myself. And then they have some stuff you can buy that's all organic, and it's expensive. So I have to compensate and make some stuff. And then I have the convenience of these packs that I can give him. But I could, you know, I would have just kept going along. But he was always like, when I first started feeding him real food, he was so happy. Aww. And he'd always had all these, like, you know, he's always happy, but he was just so much happier and had so much energy, and his face, his collar, and he just looks so good. And so I just, you know, I'm surprised that doctors don't tell you more stuff about nutrition and stuff like that for kids like that.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery. Code Wondery.
Yeah, I mean, that just brought me a lot of joy hearing that you've changed how you're feeding your son from learning about nutrition, but also sadness. Like, I have joy, I have sadness, I have it all just from the thought of, you know, all these concoctions that the food industry is selling to us as, you know, the formula that your son needed. And it was nothing but the junk. Oh my gosh, corn syrup and vegetable oil.
Could you imagine eating that? I mean, what you would feel like? And if I tried to up his calories, like giving him more, he would just throw up all the time. And so I couldn't figure it out. And then I thought, well, if I was eating oil and corn syrup all the time and sugars and stuff like that, and that's all that was going in my stomach. But I'm so, if nothing else, if I never lost a pound or anything else, the freedom and then being able to help my son is the biggest things I've got from intermittent fasting, because you really do start looking into stuff because you feel so good. You want everything to feel good. So you keep looking what's going to make me feel better and better and better and better. So that's why I just one day just turned it over, and I just like, I can't believe this doctor prescribed. Of course, my insurance wouldn't pay for it at the end, but they'll pay for that, but they won't pay for the expensive stuff, which is the good stuff. So a lot of people's never going to be able, they might know it, but unless they can afford a Vitamix and stuff, which I got one for really, really cheap, they're not going to be able to do it. And it's just crazy to me that it was a Nestle thing, but there's other brands. There's 1,000 other brands and they're all the same.
Yeah.
I would just lose sleep at night knowing this is going into tube-fed people, just junk.
Well, and then, you know, that doesn't lead to health in the long run. So that's the part that I know it seems like financially smart for the companies to put the junk in there and to pay for it with insurance, but they're actually making the health outcomes worse.
Right.
And so that your son's health is going to suffer down the line because
they never think
you
about
put
that.
Cheap fuel in, you're get, you know, bad results. So you need to invest in the good stuff, then you won't have the cost later.
Right.
So pay now, pay later. I wish that there was a way. Unfortunately, our whole healthcare system is built on a model of money and saving money. And so not health, honestly. What can we pay for the least right now? So,
or helping out the people who make the drugs.
Well, you know? That's true.
I've been watching too many documentaries lately.
Well, I just started YouTube watching it.
Have you read the China study?
I have not read the China study, no, but I love the Esselstyns are like my favorite family. Do you watch the Esselstyns cooking?
Yes, I do. Yes.
Anne
I
and
love
Jane.
The mom and daughter and
yeah, Anne and Jane
back, but they're like, woo, you know.
Yeah, they're my favorite watching them cook. And you know, like yeah. I said, I'm watching what they're cooking. I'm like, I could make that. I'm like, well, no, I'm just not gonna make that though. But
I know
they're
I won't
a hoot. But the China study is T. Colin Campbell, and that they're all friends and that. But YouTube is like, watch this, watch this, watch this. And I'm just watching Anne and Jane cook every day. That's
yeah. I thought that China study, I think it's kind of like the obesity code, but it's, you know what I mean? It's kind of like, but in a different genre, but it's kind of like eye-opening, like the obesity code, which I loved the obesity code on Audible. Yeah. The guy's really good. That's the reading. Cause I knew I could not read that book. I knew I would be like asleep. It was so detailed, but the guy's so lively and funny and stuff that it makes the book way easier to listen to, but it just makes you mad.
Well, it does. And you know, when you, and I've heard that before about listening to the obesity code is a lot easier for a lot of people versus reading it. But when I read the obesity code for the first time in 2016, I mean, that was before Jason Fung was like a low carb guru and known in the keto world. It was his first real foray out there before he was really part of that world so deeply as he is now. But I didn't stop, you know, when I read the obesity code, I walked away with the idea of real food is what you should be eating.
Yeah.
Not, oh, I can't have any carbs. That's not the message of the actual obesity code. It's eating real food. And no matter who you listen to, any nutrition expert you listen to, whether they're telling you to be vegan or whether they're telling you to be carnivore or something in between, every nutrition expert says eat real food.
Yeah. Yes.
That's the message. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if I always feel like if God made it, get it as close to the way he made it and you'll be okay. But it's just, you know, I don't know. But I was going to tell you that you and Sherry should do a, like when Cleanish came out and you all did like went through the book, you all could do like a book club sometime, you know.
Well, we could. What, like just different books, or do you have a book in mind?
Different books. But you know what's funny about the documentaries is when they come on, you see these healthy people and then you have to wait 5 minutes to find out are they, because they all look really good. They got clear eyes and they look healthy. Is it vegan? Is it carnivore? Is it paleo? Because they all look really good. And so,
but they're eating real food. You know, I actually watched YouTube shows. YouTube shows me all sorts of things. It showed me the diet doctor talking about, and he's low carb, but now he's talking about satiety. It showed me that because it knows what I want to watch. But I'm not watching it through the lens of diet brain anymore, which is what's so interesting.
Right.
It's I'm watching and like these everything I watch, the people really feel their best eating that way, which is really important. But I actually watched a vegan doctor talk about why people do so well on carnivore, and it was interesting. But it all comes down to eating real food. And if we all agree on the message that real food is better and eat real food, and ultra processed food is not. Ultra processed food is not good for us. And if we could just, you know, within the paradigm of eat real food, experiment around to see what makes you feel your best and then go from there.
Right. I mean, it's so strange how me and my husband even are so different, because I always had meat as kind of like the side dish. And have all, you know, I just want a little couple bites of meat. Uh-huh. And his is like meat French fries, but meat, you know, is the main thing. So it's just so, it's so fun how we're so different. But the thing is that people get so like, this makes me feel good. So it's the way you should
right.
be. And you just have to not, you have to just listen to yourself.
Yeah.
But eat real food as much as you possibly can, because it just is, that's the huge thing. Like you said, that's the main thing.
I think so too. And again, every single person that's pushing a dietary strategy that they have decided is how everyone should eat, that's the way they feel the best. So they can't imagine, they like, really I can't want- imagine everyone wouldn't feel their best eating right. like me. I mean, I say that tongue in cheek because I know that it's not true, but still.
I think they really, most of them do come from a good place. They're like, this helped me. I want to help you. Mm-hmm. The same way we are about intermittent fasting. Like I tell people about intermittent fasting sometimes, and then I never ever say another word about it, because I can be an intermittent fasting evangelist if you give me the platform right. because, but I don't want to, you know, if people aren't going to do it, they're not going to do it. There's no point for me. I have not had anybody do it. I've had people start it, but not. Do it not even a week and be like, I can't.
Yeah. Well, a week is just, we know why that's not enough time. I hope my new book will really help people be able to do intermittent fasting as a lifestyle. And this is coming out in December. And so is the new book, 28-Day Fast Start Day by Day. Everybody order it now. You're listening to me. If you pre-order it now, you'll have it 21 days from the date this podcast comes out, 28-Day Fast Start Day by Day. Because it's all about not just doing it for a week, like you said, Christy. It's about realizing what the first 28 days are for, and how your body has to adapt. And it's going to be uncomfortable the first week. You're not going to feel the same way on day 200 as you feel on day 2. Thank goodness.
Right. I mean it is hard at first for most people. Yep. I mean, you do. Mm-hmm. You know, you're like, it's 9 o'clock. Shouldn't I be eating? But I did a diet one time. It was the clean diet, but it was Toscarino.
I knew it. I went through all that too. I followed her a long time ago before intermittent fasting.
For 4 hours or something. And I was eating breakfast every day, and it was like 6 egg whites. And I'm like throwing these yolks to the dogs. And I was like, I dreaded breakfast. And then one day I was like, why am I putting calories in my body if I don't even... You know, I'm dreading it and I hate it.
Yeah.
And so I'm there's little things that happened all through your life that, you know, you're just like, this was a little moment that was like a little seed. I remember after 9/11, and, you know, I was like in my diet world, and I thought, how many people went to deny themselves something they really, really wanted because they're on a diet? And then went to work, and that was, you know, and just like, you know, because you're in, that's the way you think. You think everything like, diet. I thought, it's just denying.
And you know, that song, Live Like You're Dying, is that the name of that song? Have you heard that song before? You know, and don't wait for the day you're at your goal weight to enjoy your life, because we're not meant to live like that. Well, Christy, we are almost out of time. What would you tell someone just starting out with intermittent fasting, or what do you wish you knew when you first started?
I would say definitely you have to do the clean fast. I wish that I would have just never, you know, just knew black coffee from the day, which I did know after I read your book, but I was still like dabbling. It's the only way that this is not a diet. If you're going to have cream in your coffee or something that breaks the fast, even though it's under so many calories or whatever, you're on a diet. That's not something that you're going to sustain if you've never sustained a diet before. So I would just say definitely do the clean fast. If that book hadn't said, well, if you really need the cream, maybe I would have stopped even back then, but I don't know. But it's just, you got to do the clean fasts.
Yeah, I think so too. And because you think it's making it easier, but it's not. It's not making it easier. And so, that would be the number one thing I would say too. Fast clean, or wait till you're ready to fast clean, because otherwise you're doing a low calorie diet, like you said, and you're missing out on the benefits of of fasting.
And you're making it so hard on yourself. I mean, it's just so easy. You don't even think about food. And then sometimes it just, you know, if you're out somewhere, you're like, oh my gosh, I should have ate 2 hours ago, but I feel so good. And you just, it just makes it so easy. But where if I would have a little bit of something, that's it.
Yeah.
I cannot do snacks. You know, you just gotta, I don't know, just do the clean fast.
Exactly. And that you can do it, that you might think you can't, but you can.
You can. If I can do it, anybody can do it, because that was what got me out of bed in the mornings.
Yeah.
My creamy coffee, I was going to have it. And it's something I look forward to in the evening. And now I just look just as forward to the black coffee as I did the cream coffee.
Well, everybody, y'all need to look for Christy's YouTube channel, The Homesteader Wannabe. Wanna with W-A-N-N-A. And Christy, I hope that a lot of people come and check out the work that you're doing with gardening and food, and your hydroponic, I bet, will be on there too.
Yes, I'm going to put that on there as soon as I get it. It's on back order.
Well, I'm going to have to go look for you and start following you. And then you two will be like, oh, now you want to see homesteading stuff. And then I'll probably be like growing hydroponic stuff myself.
It'd be way easier to go in there and grab.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Christy.
Thank you, Jen.
Do you have an intermittent fasting story to tell? Email me at jen@intermittentfastingstories.com and I'll add you to the lineup. That's GIN@intermittentfastingstories.com. The world wants to hear your story. That's it for today. Remember, I may have a doctorate, but I'm not a medical doctor. So don't use anything you hear on this podcast as a substitute for medical advice. Please always check with your doctor or healthcare provider if you have medical questions. I'll talk to you next week, Fasting Family, where we will hear another inspiring story. Have a great week and fast on. Intermittent Fasting Stories is edited, mixed, and mastered by Resonate Recordings. To learn more, visit them at resonaterecordings.com or email them at hello@resonaterecordings.com. Intermittent Fasting Stories listeners will receive a free offer if you mention that you heard it on the podcast.
One, two, three, four. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.